Welcome in to episode 69 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and in this episode we have Natalie Servant in Designer Alley, What's Your Crack, the Hellos in the Great Christmas Decoration Swap, the Scottish segment is back, there's a me section, and for the drams we have a Glen Scotia 12-year-old single malt this episode. All the links come in the show notes that come from where you download this from, so do relax and get your links later on. I am sponsoring this from my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, which really has got nothing to do whatsoever with craft, but everything to do with Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. As it's my business, it pays my wage and therefore your podcast. So, get your cup of tea and your craft, and I'll let you know what your crack is in Caithness this week.
Designer Alley.
I have no blather this episode because it's Designer Alley. For those of you that pick up the breadcrumbs of the past few episodes, well done. Give yourself a yarny treat. Yes, I'm fortunate again to have a Fiona in Canada, that everyone should have, that knows the very lovely Natalie Servant and introduced us. She's very kindly agreed to be part of my Designer Alley. So, here are my questions I asked. Question 1. Can you tell the listeners your crafty journey and what has led you to designing? Natalie said, I've always loved crafts. My parents have a story about me being missing from my crib one morning. They found me in the living room gluing pieces of paper to the footstool. Oh, I love you. I have done all kinds of craft throughout my life, but I came back to knitting when I was in university. I wanted sweaters, and I figured that making them would be cheaper. Silly me. Yeah, silly us. After a short period of knitting sweaters, I got hooked on knitting lace, and I've made all kinds of shawls. I reached a point where I understood how to fix my knitting. Then she started to make changes to patterns that I was working on. The original Knitting Olympics, wow, were you in that? Wow, was the first time I challenged myself to design something. I've not actually been in that yet. Looks shamefully at self's feet. Back to Natalie. I made a felted flower pillow for my daughter. Then I started to get other ideas which could be turned into knitting patterns. The more I look for inspiration, the more I see. The more things I try to design and knit, the more work out. It's like a muscle that grows with use. Not every idea becomes a pattern. In fact, some of them take months for me to figure out the right approach, but I can usually get a result that I'm happy with. Isn't that a lovely outlook on designing? It's like a muscle that grows with use. I do like that. Question 2, I asked her. I think you have lovely taste. I know I say this to everybody, but I really do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be asking you if you're in Designer Alley, so don't take offence I ask all the designers this. Can you tell me where, who, what you get your information from? And why Art Nouveau in particular? Natalie said, thank you. Exclamation mark. I like the exclamation mark. I must have asked a good question. I'm always on the lookout for things that I think are beautiful. I'm very drawn to certain creators from the arts and crafts movement, Art Nouveau and Art Deco. A lot, but not all, of my favourite items and buildings are heavily geometric. When I think back to the rules-based geometric doodles I used to do in my high school binders, the source of my inspiration isn't much of a surprise. Of course, not everything I do comes from the same type of inspiration. Sometimes it's a colour that catches my eye and has to be knit. I'm wondering how she does that. Well, let's read on. Sometimes I've got a texture in my mind that I want to play with. Yeah, I can understand that. I usually have my iPhone camera at the ready, whether I'm out and about or just watching TV, in case I spot anything that looks interesting. I try to find the best knitting technique to translate my ideas. I'm always trying to learn new things. I've heard that an awful lot from a lot of podcasters and designers, to say that they always or try and carry their camera with them as much as possible. And I've actually tried to start doing that as well. And it's always the day that you think, I'll not need that, when you see, oh, that would be a good shot. So yes, definitely take your phone with you at all times, people. Question 3, I asked her, can you describe the process you go through from idea to finished garment? I.e. do you use a sketchbook, colour wheels, or are you the back of the napkin kind of person? And this is because I love hearing how different people work. Natalie said, I do have sketchbooks, but I've also got little scraps of sketches pinned to my cork board. I guess I'm still not as organised as I'd like to be. Here, you've got a cork board that's got scraps of sketches pinned to it. That's pretty organised for me. She says, usually I start with a drawing of some sort. Depending on the type of knit, The next step will be a series of swatches to explore different ways of achieving the technique or a chart, or a series of evolving charts. If I'm starting to get a new original lace design, I'll generally start with the only part of the motif to get the shape and scale set, rather than trying to get everything to work together perfectly at once. It's good advice, isn't it? Sometimes I do work from the yarn first, but it's generally the pattern that is my starting point. Isn't it interesting finding the different viewpoints of all the designers? Question 4, I asked her, what's the hardest part of the design process for you? Natalie said, the hardest part for me is to push through to figure out a design when things aren't quite working out. Sometimes it just takes perseverance, but I know that other times it's seemingly unrelated idea that's going to help me figure things out. I knew for months that I wanted my Eiffel Tower shawl to look like, but it wasn't working. Then one day I realised that the Corvenant S kind of matched what I wanted, so I looked up my copy of Bridget Rorem's Lace Alphabet and used that as my starting point instead, which was much better. Question 5. I asked her, what's the best bit of the design process for you? Natalie answered, I love it when a plan comes together. Oh, fellow 18 person. Sorry, I'm sitting in the black van with the rest of you, making things out of cotton reels and stuff. Boom! Sorry, Mr. T. I love it when a plan comes together. When everything in my head and my sketch comes out looking like I expected in the knitting. Sometimes it's even better than I could have hoped. I like that. Question 6. I asked her, do you knit each design entirely yourself or does someone else do the actual knitting? She answered, I do knit all of my designs myself. Then I get test knitters to check things out. Some work from the written instructions and others work from charts. I try to make both available in my patterns where possible. And if there are any variations, sizes, yarn weight, etc., I make sure that's covered by testers too. When all that is finished, a tech editor goes over the pattern and helps to make sure everything's consistent and correct. Question 7. I asked her, what are your designer plans for the future? Next, patterns, book, publications, fibre events, the world. She answered, I've got a big secret project of my own in the works at the moment. And she's not told us what it is. She says, but I'm not quite ready to spill the beans on that yet. It is in the very early stages. Fair enough, I suppose. I've got 4 patterns out already, waiting to go to publication in a number of books, and they'll be out sometime in the new year, 2013, fingers crossed. I do plan to keep self-publishing much of my work, and I've got a few new ideas I'm thinking about. Of course, I'll keep running my French-inspired Tour de France KAL, which is Knit Along, every July. It's a lot of fun for me, and especially when I develop a pattern far enough in advance. So, more breadcrumbs. We'll have to keep an eye on this one. And I've asked her if she'll keep us abreast of what this big thing is. Don't you hate not knowing? She wouldn't tell me either. Question 8. Moving on rapidly. I asked, I have an imaginary alley on the podcast, which is where all the designers that I chat to have their own design studio. So please describe your ideal space on this here alley. Natalie said, my ideal space has lots of light, both natural light in the day and good lighting for working at night. I like natural materials, so the floor is a light hardwood, and perhaps there's a nice serene blue colour on the walls. I'm nice and calm now. Yes, that's nice. There's plenty of room in the walls to hang inspiring pictures. There's a comfy chair in front of my spinning wheel, and a magic yarn fibre tool storage system where I can always easily find and reach whatever I'm looking for. I've got a desk for my computer and for writing, and a bookshelf for all my pattern books and reference material. There's a mantelpiece over the fireplace for me to display all my beautiful spindles, and there's an adequate storage for my growing collection of samples. Sounds like a nice place, let's go there. It's a shame it's just in my head, isn't it? Question 9, I asked, and finally, contact details the listeners can get you at so they can go and buy, that's not subliminal messaging, and support their friendly designers. Natalie's website is www.natalieservant.com, that's NatalieServant.com. And my patterns are on Ravelry, they're also available on Craftsy and Patternfish. Well, get this bit. Listeners can use the coupon code KeithNess on Ravelry. until the end of July 2013 and get 50% off any of the patterns. Wow. And she's also got a Ravelry group, which we are all welcome to join. 50% off. So, mosey on over there, listeners of mine. That's brilliant. 50% off. Thank you very much, Natalie. And thank you very much for letting us into your designer head. I, myself, love the Art Nouveau patterns that she has, and I love how she gets her inspiration from the Manhattan Bridge and Eiffel Tower. Because, you know, that I like Art Nouveau, Rennie McIntosh, Clarence Clough, etc. Now, Natalie Servant. What a lovely offer for you lovely listeners. An extremely good timing of it being Christmas, too. You could either get it for Christmas or for someone for Christmas. So, especially you lot that realised that that's who I was going to interview this in this episode. You deserve this. So thank you very much, Natalie. And now if you need a pee stop, because it's time for the Daisy Santa.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
Now Sandy has a message for you.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you for sending me and Daisy stuff this year.
Aren't my parents lovely?
Hello.
Hello section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while, you've been with me forever listeners.
Hello.
I appreciate you all tuning in, so thank you very much for taking the time to understand new iTunes and continue to subscribe to me. Now a Sandy hello to the new group members.
Hello.
Grace Peartree, Joy Harmon, Lally Gag, Belle Fleur 45, Holity, Wollum B. Dreamer, who I picked on last episode for her high heels, Dolled Up DNA, Katie Ja, and Love Fibre. Thank you for joining. I do love the messages, the friend requests, and your projects. And thank you to Ugly Betty for the iTunes review. The random hellos are going to be this episode to Hoxton Handmade, Canny Cat, N. Blackstock, JC Chant, Hiya Julie, Craftlife's Amanda, Distel, and Natalie Ford.
Hello!
And at this episode, I'm having a get well soon to my best pal, Mari's mum, Isabel, who I mentioned last episode. And she's been in hospital for quite a serious operation. She's back out of hospital and she's on the mend now. I'm hoping that you continue to improve, Isabel, and because there's Andy Murray's to be knitted.
What's the E crack section?
What's a crack? I'm just going to mention Knit Pearl Girl again. She had instigated random acts of pattern kindness on any Tuesday, where you go and join in her Friends of Knit Pearl Girl Ravelry group, and you join in the thread, and you then gift a pattern to someone else in the group on a Tuesday. You didn't have to do it every week, but her theory was that Tuesday is normally rubbish. It's too far away from the weekend. It was nice to receive or to send a knitting or crochet pattern through Ravelry. Now, I've been on the receiving end of this a few times now, and it's lovely. Lovely heartwarming message and gift. And the days are short here. The weather's kind of rubbish. You might be hearing it tonight. We've got at least 40 miles an hour wind and rain, and it's about 3 degrees, so it's quite a dirty night. And as my father would say, I wouldn't be putting my milk bottles out in that, Louise. So there was no post at all this Tuesday. And then I got a gift from Natalie Ford, and it was in fond memory of Cari. And it was brilliant and sad at the same time. I like giving out the patterns too, so I think it's a lovely idea. Plus, it supports our friendly designers. And if you're buying Knit Pearl patterns, her family are in direct receipt of the proceeds. I myself sent off a snowflake for them at their request, because when they moved, they lost all their decorations, so they requested that people send them the snowflakes that Cari herself was trying to make for her tree. And we sent a blizzard. Really, we listeners, we did. And I think there's still time if you want to try and do that or something. Go on to Knit Pearl Girls Ravelry group, and there's something that you can do there. What I wanted to bring up was, I think it's a really nice legacy that Cari has left us of the pass it forward gifting, and also you're supporting your designers and also you're spreading the love. And I noticed that in her episodes that she was knitting an Anna Dalvey shawl, which was beautiful actually. It's with sadness and heartwarming at the same time that I sort of mention that again. However, Happy Hobbit Day on the 14th of December, which is now. I'm excited about going to watch this. Although I did not take part in the Knit One Geek Two Hobbit along, and I am crocheting a pink dragon for Daisy, but I haven't finished it on time. Hoping to finish it for Christmas. Plus, I was a year early with making my Dragon's Breath pie shawl, because it was orange and red, and I was reading The Hobbit to Sandy last year while I was knitting it. So, happy day to Karen and Maggie of and the newbie of Knit One Geek Two, and I'm hoping that you're wearing your Lothlorien cape and your dragon shawls tonight. Of course, I know you're not listening to me tonight, because you're far too excited going off watching The Hobbit, which I'm not going to see for a few days yet. I have kept forgetting, but I did put in the show notes one day, to mention the Calendar of Hope for 2013, which is to raise money and awareness of breast cancer. And it's available from www.fitterknitter.com, which is now in its fifth year and has raised over $5,000, which is pretty cool. So if you want to take part in that and get your Calendar of Hope for 2013, go over to fitterknitter.com. In my work news, which I don't mention too often, a wee update for Christmas. We had this week our update of the DNV triple certification for our integrated management systems, which is extremely good for us. This means that my company is a good company. Our Christmas newsletter was distributed today with details of the main projects this year. I'm going to bore you with it. No, I'm not actually, because I know that a lot of you are interested. We have input into all major tidal energy projects in the Pentland Firth and Orkney Waters for the leading utilities. We are a resident engineer on three local wind farm projects. We're doing survey work in the Murray Firth for offshore wind projects. We're doing HV testing and inspection on a number of generation project assets. We have representation for a number of renewable project developers. We are operations management and maintenance for major utility wind farm owner operators. The revalidation of our DNV audited triple UCAS QHSE integrated management system certification. Oh, it's not easy to say. We opened our new office in Thurso, and our company sponsored craft related podcast got over 1.1 million downloads. He was really chuffed that I got over the million mark, and he did feel it was worth mentioning. So hello any new listeners via the newsletter. I hope you're enjoying yourself and you're a crafty person like us. If not, settle in for this Scottish segment because it's got nothing to do with craft.
Scottish segment.
This is the Keithness bit. This episode, we're back in time. Scooby-doo, woo. Now, I looked for a sound effect for that. Couldn't find one, I'm sorry. So you've got me going, woo, woo. I'm doing the hand up gesture. Back in time. Back before there were smart mobile phones. Back even before there were podcasts and electricity. I think we might have wheels, but maybe that's it. In fact, you might be lucky if you've got wheels. So Caithness itself was habitated, I don't know what the right word is, in about 6000 BC. In other words, that was when the first people came. Not much has changed, I think. Giggle. 6000 BC, and imagine being on a night like this. Oh, yuck, in your cave. The first good evidence the archaeologists have are around about 4000 BC. And this is when Mesolithic, I think that's how you say it, hunters leaving evidence in their middens at Fresick and Keith. A midden is a rubbish tip. So you would often say, your house is like a midden, Louise, go and tidy it up. Or it's like a rubbish tip. And this was a time before farmers. I saw this on Horrible Histories recently and thought, oh, people didn't always farm. I suppose they didn't, but it had never occurred to me that there weren't always farmers staying there in one place. Because, of course, they would have migrated where the food was. But the first farmers of Caithness came about 3000 BC. They've left a fair bit that's not been destroyed over the years, which we can now go and visit and actually go into. There's a place just north of Leibster, in a bit called Camster Cairns, where there are some burial chambers worth visiting. These are large mounds of stone, which had long, low passageways into them, and burial chambers on either side of the passageway. Never saw any dead bodies or gold, but it would have been taken a long time ago. Plus, that's pre-gold making anyway. But if you like history or you're a bit short, well, they're well worth a visit. Oh, that's me! I'm like a bit short and I quite like history. But I've been. Now, the burial customs changed about 2000 BC when the metalheads came to town, meaning they brought with them the use of Bronze Age and stuff like that. And they altered the methods from lengthway to upright stones and creating boxes in the ground for burial. Lovely. And these are the standing stones and the agricultural changes. They set stones upright in patterns in fields and some in pairs, some alone and some in horseshoes. And we're still unsure why. It could have been astronomical, it could have been ceremonial or ritual. But I like to think it's just for a crack. So life rattled along for a bit, and then in about 600 BC, in came the Iron Age, and they built circular foundations for their houses, and they settled in the well-drained arable land areas. They hung around the headlands too, certain St John's Point and Holborn Head areas. And these were the Broch builders. Broch. And I've mentioned them a few times before, in episodes past. The book says that they were defensive structures built in more troubled times. And they would be a dry stone circular tower, some of them some 12 metres high and about the same in diameter. There's a single entrance leading to a circular courtyard inside with a well and a fireplace. And the walls were hollow with a spiral staircase leading to the top of the tower. There'd be no windows and only the entrance at the bottom, which they could then block if they were attacked. And because they've got the fireplace and the well, they would be virtually impregnable. I wish I wouldn't put words in my script I can't pronounce. The best of all broch left is in Moosa in Shetland. But the one in Caithness is at Ousdale, and the one at Keith at Knibster, as previously mentioned a few episodes back. But they're not very big, certainly not 12 metres high. I think it's just the leftovers of their foundations. So I think that's kind of enough prehistory for this episode, so we can get the smartphones back out again. But I think we might find some Vikings next Scottish segment, so you better get tooled up, because these Vikings know dragons. Yeah, that is if you've watched or read How to Train Your Dragon. Gerald Butler. Lovely, I love him. Don't tell Richard. Swap. You should have all sent out your packages by now, and I urge you to do so ASAP, because it's the 14th of December. So the idea is for other people to hang them on their tree, which is going to be taken down after Christmas, which is the 25th, as you know. So get the post office tomorrow. Looks over glasses. I sent mine, and as I told you before, it was a wee fairy angel. And, oh, I received my package from the lovely Buffalo partner wearer Rachel Mandor this week. And of course, stupendous package of 3 beaded snowflakes for my tree. And Richard looked at them and I said, these are handmade. And he went, no, really? And then she goes, oh, they're just, Rachel, they're beautiful. The bairn's got a packet of sweeties each. Oh, were they excited? A lovely jar of honey. More on the honey later in the drams. And the handwritten letter, which was lovely. She's got nice writing. And the piece de la resistance, a packet of doggy treats for the black dog. In her letter, she requested that I highlight the fact that pets, such as dogs and cats, get microchipped to trace them back to their owners, just in case they get lost, because some animals are only kept for 7 days before destroyed if they can't be reunited with their owners. Oh! I'm happy to see Quattro has a microchip, and has had one since the moment I was allowed to get one in him. So thank you, Rachel, and I love this swap. I really did like this swap. And everybody get their pet microchipped. That's an order! The next swap, I thought we could do send out for the end of January. I know, it's coming round, really. There are those of you that don't do Christmas for various reasons, and I asked Spajo if she would choose the next topic because she didn't take part in this one. And she suggested, which I thought was lovely, a recipe swap, where everyone sends a local or family history recipe with a bit of a story attached. And it could go along with a knitted dishcloth, so we have a bit of crafty thing in there too. I would also like to put in something, say you get something for Christmas that you don't think that you would ever use, but someone else might get a use out of it, such as, I always get bubble bath or soap, and I can't use it, or just can't for my skin. It's not that I'm ungrateful for the present, I just can't use bubble bath. So maybe your auntie gives you crochet hoops and you don't crochet, or some socks for size 8 when you've got size 3 feet. You know, that kind of gifts. And you appreciate the sentiment of the giving, but you haven't a use or a need for the gift itself. So I'll put up a thread in the Ravelry soon. Because it's a shame for these gifts not to be passed on to someone that could get a nice use out of them. I sound like a right ungrateful cow, don't I? Coming up, it's the air section. What's that, Skibby? People in Edinburgh need a yarn fest. Well, like I say, I found out where, I found out when. Skibby, I don't even need to get up. It's at Out of the Blue Drill Hall, 36 Dalmeny Street in Edinburgh. www.outofthblue.org.uk on the 16th of March 2013. What's that, Skibby? We need to go and help them at the yarn fest. Get your rescue gear on and we'll go. I haven't asked my mum yet, actually. And I was doing Skibby tweets about the yarn fest, and we're all now best buddies because Edinburgh Yarn Festival followed me, and this is how I sort of found the information. I have a new section for you in the new year. I'm going to talk about needles and pins. Needles and pins. Needles and pins. Both are a very important part of a crafter's toolkit. And the more I craft, the more I realise what I don't know about it. And I thought, when I got the fancy pins from IKEA, that I might talk about the different pins that are available, and then thought, needles are different as well. And tenuously, knitting needles are called needles, and sewing needles are also called needles. Shame crochet hooks aren't pins, but they aren't, so I just have to get past that. And also, I'm going to whine here, I have got Knit Pro, which I think you call Knit Picks, Symphony Set, the bamboo ones, interchangeable, and I've had it about 2 years now. I like them very much, and I'm not moaning about them, and I know the joins sometimes go, and you have to keep tightening them up. I'm a bamboo kind of girl, and I like mine pointy, and I like the interchangeables, but on my last project, I was using my size 4 millimetres, which are quite a regular size for me, and because I needed pointy ones because of the bobbly pattern, but the tip has started to split, and it's catching the yarn quite a lot. Previously, I had sandpapered it down and given it a good seeing to, but it's gone again, and I think it's time it's had its day. I asked on Twitter what everyone else liked and had and what they would recommend, and the Chaigu red lace seemed to be coming out on top. I'm not wanting to order a whole new set, so I was going to get a size 4mm to start with. Well, this was after I had got all the stuff I was getting for Christmas, so I'll have to wait until after Christmas, which is why Needles and Pins is going to be after Christmas, when I can afford it again. If you've got good advice on what you like, I like to have pointy needles, I quite like bamboo, and I quite like interchangeables. They don't have to be interchangeables, but, and also they don't necessarily have to be cables, but tell me what your favourite needle is, and why, and what you use it for, because they all have different needs for different uses and stuff. Stuff, that's a great word. I buy books, I never read, and then I tell you some more about me. So now for the Me Show, because really, it's all about me, it's my podcast. Panda Quilt. I saw Jenny at John O'Groats, we went for coffee, it was lovely. And Jenny says, why did you call it Panta? And I said, well, it's because I was sewing up this quilt and I stopped to take a photograph to show everybody, oh, look what I've done. And I had only got as far as putting on his pants, so it became Panta, not quite yet Santa, and the name Panta has stuck. So Panta now has all his clothes on and his lovely smiley face, and he is on the wall. So I finished the Santa and Rudolph quilted wall hanging. And it's a kit quite widely available on the internet, and it's designed by Rachel T. Pellman of Rachel's of Greenfield. And you can get it on eBay, I found them. I would recommend this pattern if you like appliqué. Not bond web appliqué, I was quite annoyed at that, but there you go. It's not too big, and everything you need apart from needles, scissors and thread is in the kit. And sewing machine, well, that's kind of handy too. Although, If you could, if you wanted to, do it all by hand. Yeah, right, because I'm going to do that. I had to ask advice on the hand quilting part of it, and I asked my mum and I asked Darla of the Scientific Quilter podcast, and both gave me good advice. They suggested small, neat running stitches quite close to the shapes, but not right on their borders. Mum said hers was a width away, and it was the width of her wedding ring, but my wedding ring is much thinner than hers. Well, I know what width hers is, I'm just being panicky. It's not my favourite part of quilting, that it is now on and up on the wall along with the rest of the Christmas decorations. I'd like to point out that I ironed all my quilted wall hangings and the placemats that my mum has made me previously, because I have a few now. The next binding I need to do is for quilting is back to Daisy's pink quilt, which is sitting upstairs waiting, shouting at me actually. I finished the Christmas cards this year and I made 43 out of 72, but Tesco's have stopped selling the plain pack of white cards just now, which was most grumpy because I couldn't get to the craft shop in time. It was shut, and I used up the ones from last year. I went for simple, yet effective. And you have to put your hand out. Simple, yet effective. Paper Christmas tree. To have a break from quilting one day, I decided to make a paper Christmas tree. And this is an idea via Pinterest and www.tazaandhusband.blogspot, and it was the holiday guest post-Christmas mantle craft bit. And it's so simple yet effective. Again, simple, pause, yet effective. It's brilliant. Treebeard would be proud. It's just so easy. That's one idea for Christmas, because, whoa, it's fast approaching and you're all panicking, you're running out of time. Fear not, I have a couple of ideas. Some of these don't cost much either, so if you do them in a bit of bulk. I've mentioned the flavoured vodkas before, because all of you have got your flavoured vodkas sitting brewing. No, you've not, right, well, we're going to do it now. We made mint humbug flavour, as well as chilli, from Giffnet Girl. Thank you very much, Ella Flavour. So if you get a bottle of vodka or gin from the shops this weekend, don't drink it. You put in some boiled sweeties and you should have it ready for Christmas Day. We were going to make Skittle vodka, but we ate the Skittles before we bought the vodka. Then he bought the vodka and I said, oh, I've eaten the Skittles. Oh, shh, don't be telling Fitness Pal. No, I don't want to tell Fitness Pal. Fitness Pal's forgotten who I am just now. I'm not overweight, I'm just not as light as I want to be. But then I remembered I had a packet of mint humbugs that were too hard my teeth, and I never eat them, and nobody else likes them. And I recommend one of these because they're lovely. And what you can do then is decant it off into wee jars or wee miniature bottles if you have them, or wee jars from the likes of IKEA or Tesco's. And there's a few parts of a present for a bottle of vodka and a packet of sweeties. I'm also going to make some lemon curd for my pals and my mother-in-law. So if you have little to no money, see, you could order a book from the library for your loved one of their favourite author of the recent just book. You could organise time for babysitting. You could even just send them through to the room without parents, because they're needing 5 minutes apiece. Give them a cup of coffee, and then she comes back out the room much happier after playing clay jam for 15 minutes. Sorry, where was I? I've lost my place. So you could also get them to choose a pattern that they like from Ravelry. They could go through your stash to see if what yarn they've got. Well, so you're going to hide the expensive stuff. Nobody's getting their hands on my Madeline Dawson, I'll tell you that now. Not even you, Mother. Gifting can be done quite thrifty if you want to put your mind to it. Such as writing a poem for them, drawing a picture of them, something that they like. And Pinterest and the internet are full of good ideas. They really are. Now, not so cheap, but the collective of Keith's Craft Collective, we made soap from a kit. We got it from the Soap Kitchen last month, and it was £20 plus VAT plus postage, and it was everything barring the pans and thermometers that you need to make 10 big bars of soap. So we worked out it wasn't too expensive, especially if you were going to sell it on, but I'm not, mine's for presents. This kit was using caustic soda, and we had a lesson in chemistry, because it heats up when you add water. For those of you that have forgotten, what the chemistry reaction was. Hello, me. I chose the lime and patchouli kit, and it smells ace, and it's still quite dry on my skin, so the soap quest for me carries on again. The rest of my quarter is cut up ready to go for presents, along with the crocheted washcloths, and I made it with the collective of Sarah, Karen and Jenny. And we agreed that it was fun, but we don't think we'll be doing it before next year, and we kind of fancied the soap kitchen have a Christmas cake soap that's layered up, and then you put little bits of decorations on, like a Christmas pudding. It's very cool. And I found this because Martin of iMake made it a couple of years ago. It's quite expensive, although the soap kitchen was fine. They do state it might take longer for postage, but it took 2 weeks to get here. Other than that, really, they were all fine and have brilliant stuff for making soap making things. And the next few weeks are mad rush of Christmas. I'm going to the pantomime tomorrow and Thurso, the Pied Piper. He's behind you. Oh, no, he's not. Oh, yes, he is. I've been getting the bears to practice that. And I'm looking forward to the Electric Sheep pantomime. And we've got lots of Christmas parties, and I'm sure you all have the same. So I hope Santa is good to you, visits you with crafty goodness. I'm getting a sewing machine, don't you know? Well, if I'm a good girl, well, but I've been a good girl because it's upstairs. If you don't celebrate Christmas for whatever reason, I hope you have a nice time doing whatever it is you're doing. And that was me.
The drums.
As ever, we have this at the end. Are you still awake out there? As some of you aren't into the drinking. There will be only blah 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 stuff after, so thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you next episode, and I really do wish you a happy Christmas. For those of you who are into the drams, we do have a 12-year-old Glen Scotia single malt whiskey. And here we go.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello and welcome into the drams. And this episode we have a 12-year-old single malt Glen Scotia from Campbelltown.
Deepest, darkest. Campbell.
Hands up, who knows where Campbelltown is? I'm holding my hand up.
Hold your hand up.
Coach was no bothered. Have you got your hand up? Oh, yeah. You at the back. Obviously, Kelly and I'll have. Oh, and Ugly Betty, she'll know where Campbelltown is because she lives in Dunoon.
Oh, right. That's near-ish, kind of. Although yeah. It's a long road round.
It is indeed.
You can't get a ferry.
So, where's Campbelltown, Richard?
Deepest, darkest, South Argyll.
Otherwise known as
the Kintyre Peninsula.
And you will all know the Mull of Kintyre from the song. Yes, it's going round your head, as well as mine.
Mull of Kintyre.
I didn't ask
da be dee be doo be doo be doo. I don't know the words.
I am so sorry.
I can just think of bagpipes.
Yeah.
And really rubbish songs.
Well, it's a matter of opinion. Some people like that kind of nonsense. However, it is at the very tip of Scotland. But the other tip, not ours. And I have, for our perusal, a little peaty tiny bottle. Because I was at the Edinburgh Woolen Mill in John O'Groats recently. And they've got a rather nice selection of miniatures. And I thought that because there's quite a few that we've not bought, or the big bottles are too expensive, such as the open malt, which I want to do, but I don't want to have to pay £44.
That'll come. Hold.
Stay on target.
That'll come, just you wait.
So I just thought this was a nice way of doing the malts that I hadn't heard of, or hadn't tasted, or maybe out of my price range for the big bottle.
So what you're saying is, rather than do the premium, the good stuff, we're going for the poor man's alternative instead.
No, I'm not, because I did...
Campbelltown as opposed to Oban. Not that I'm biased or anything.
Well, to be perfectly honest, when I pulled... Because I bought three, and we have a Scapa, which is not by any shape, means or forms, the poor man's Oban. And I've bought a Hebridean, which I thought was a malt, but it's actually a liqueur. And this Glen Scotia, I pulled out and went, why is that not a Bunahavan? Because I thought I had bought a Bunahavan. I may well yet buy a Bunahavan.
I've just noticed, ironically, that your Hebridean liqueur actually comes from Helensburgh.
Anyway, listeners, we'll get back to the Glen Scotia 12-year-old. put the Hebridean liqueur down.
Step away from the liqueur and the Scapa.
Yeah. So there's three bottles, and it was $3.99 for this year, 5 CLs, which I can't remember what it is, and it's 40% volume. It's a little peaty bottle. And to me, this looks like a man's dram, an old manny's bottle.
It's a domestic dram.
Well, the bottle itself is, how big's that?
4 inches.
4 inches, I'd say. And it's got a beige kind of rectangle label with green and gold writing on it. It's not that exciting.
No, but it's a miniature, so you're not expecting the full...
Well, I looked on the website
the full and Monty when it comes to all the embossing. And
they have the pretty much the same label.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what do you expect from...
See, I'm kind of going for the craft element, the design element. Now, it's not to say the design of the bottle is going to be the same as the taste.
Now, I don't want to sound too derogatory, but there aren't that many people that can read and write down in Cambourne.
I'm going to debate as to whether I keep that in or not. We have the bottle description, and it's cute. I love little miniatures. They are cute. And it is a very good way to taste, isn't it not, Richard?
I'm open to persuasion on this matter.
For instance, you buy a bottle of whiskey and you think, I don't really like that. And it sits there.
Yeah.
And so far, we've been quite lucky in the fact we've not actually had that, have we?
You give it to the B-class visitors.
Moving on. Cork.
Oh, right, okay, hold on. This cork is screw off.
Not quite as squeaky as normal, listeners. No. And he did say, ugh, it's no good a cork. And I says, well, remember we had a miniature before. No, not yet.
Awesome.
And it had a cork. I think it was a Macallan.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, you can pour now.
You don't quite get as much as you think you're going to get, do you?
Listeners, yeah. I think Richard has put 4 of the 5 CLs in his glass and 1 in mine.
That was an accident.
Okay.
I can swap glasses.
Oh, that's a nice smell.
It is a nice smell.
Oh, it's a nice, sweet kind of smell. Now, I'm not too sure if this is peated or non-peated, so I did look at the tasty notes beforehand.
I'm getting a sweet kind of honey smell of that.
And it did say it was quite a sweet oak.
You get an oak?
Mm. Because I read it on the tasty notes.
I'm not getting an oak, I'm getting kind of honey.
Yeah, I did get a very sweet whiff. That wasn't just me going, whiskey, so far.
It's a lovely smell. It is a nice smell.
It's a nice smell.
Yeah.
It wasn't what I was expecting. I think I was expecting more of a Speyside one.
I was expecting cooking whiskey.
Mm, I was.
But I keep an open mind.
Right.
About anything that comes out.
So, I'll roll it around my glass and see how fast it takes to come down.
You got enough in there to roll?
Not really. Way up. And I've got a little glass
as
well.
Why am I sticking up there? Like quite the thing, like that.
No, it must be a reasonable quality, as they say. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And it's way back, I can't remember
why. Good 5 or 6 gills you've got in there.
Yeah. Right, colour.
Colour.
Now, remember we keep saying Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh. Oh, Chewbacca. I think it's because we lost the list of the different colours that we had. And just this past couple of weeks, I found...
I can't get enough of the smell of this. It's lovely.
Yeah. I found the list that we had written down, and it was weirdly, and not quite rightly, written in the back of Daisy's Barbie Princess colouring in book. Must have been handy.
I get a smell of flowers off it as well.
Oh, that's nice, dear. And... So the list is golden tea coloured, orange and honey. That was the descriptions of the colours that we thought were the most easily accessible to your brain as you're wandering around doing whatever it is you're doing. So for golden we had Barbie hair. Tea coloured we've got Manky Puddle Water. Orange we've got Chewbacca. And honey is Winnie the Pooh's forearms. So, what colour would you think that this Glen Scotia is?
Oh, so I'm lost in a meadow of flowers and honey here. I feel like a bumblebee.
A bumble or a honey?
Are they different? Oh, yeah, of course they are.
I knew that. A bumblebee is different to a honeybee. That's shocking.
It's been a long week.
You want to be a honeybee because they're not very common.
Yeah, I know. Honeybees rock.
Yeah, save the honeybees.
On the honeybees.
I'm on the honeybees. They save the world.
And I'm going to be the honeybee that lives near this distillery, collecting the pollen.
But you'd have to live near Campbelltown then.
I'm going to commute from Woburn. Just for the season.
Oh, you're quick. Collar.
Oh, do I say? What do we call it? Barbie's hair or something?
That's not gold.
That is gold, that.
That's orange.
Call it orange?
I would call that quite orange. Mind you, the fact that you've got most of it in your glass.
You can have this one. Yours is lighter. Cause
mine's is lighter because there's less.
Yeah, no, but yours will be the same by the time you put your water in it.
Well, that's true. So that's either honey. Actually, do you know what? We could test it against the Caithness honey I bought this week.
Well, hold on. Hold on. The honey cost more than the whiskey. Explain.
Well, I was in the butcher's when I was reorganising the date that we're picking up the turkey. Richard didn't realise that the turkey was to be picked up on Christmas Eve, which is a Monday, because Christmas is Tuesday this year. And so he goes in, sorts out his mistake, and I thought, I'll treat Richard to a nice jar of Caithness honey, because they say that you're supposed to buy local, so there's me supporting my local community, and I actually know the guy who makes, well, he doesn't make the honey, he encourages his bees to make the honey, and then he harvests the honey, so he's a bee harvester, honey harvester even, and it's from Halkirk, and it's Kerry's dad. And I have bought some before at £5. And Richard woke me up yesterday morning at 6 o'clock, said, why did you buy honey at £5.20? So I just said, well, that's how much honey, local honey from the butchers, costs.
I wasn't having a go.
You were.
I wasn't. No, I wasn't really. I was just inquiring as to why, on the off chance, you happened to purchase honey at that price. You've explained the reasons, and I've accepted those reasons. This makes us sound like a right old-fashioned...
We are. However, I also would like to point out that today was the most wonderful postage day. I have still not yet received my Knit Your Own Scotland book, listeners. Not very impressed with that Amazon company, even though it is maybe the busiest posting week of the year.
No excuse.
No, it's no excuse.
Set your target, you set your time, and you stick to it.
Especially when you're called Speedy Hen. Yeah, hen. You're not very speedy. I got the most wonderful package from Giftnet Girl. Thank you very much, Ayla. We had been discussing chilies, of all things, when I was in Glasgow, and I was berating the fact that my polytunnel had not produced me any chilies this year at all. And what did I get in the package in the post today? Chilies. And what, how cool are they, and what have we done with them?
What do we do with the chilies? Well, what we did is we gave them a stern talking to with language and words that we couldn't possibly repeat.
No, we won't. Not on, in this podcast.
On this podcast. And then we sort of looked at them kind of mean-like and snarled at them a bit and kind of rolled our lip up and scowled at them and tried to intimidate them a bit.
Showed them to Quattro.
Showed them. Oh, yeah, they got a bit mean then. Then we straightened them all out like little soldiers on the chopping board. And I got the rolling pin. And I went, right, this is how it's going to be. You're either going to mean yourselves right up here, or you're going to get squished. And then I bruised them, ever so gently, with the rolling pin.
Bashed 7 shades of chilli out of them, and then bunged them in a litre and a half bottle of vodka. Looks really cool. I have put a picture on Flickr if anybody wants to go and see it.
Oh, I'll sit there for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
And we'll encourage them to be meaner day by day.
You need to really explain the meaner part of being chillies and sort of swearing at your chilli, which I don't really encourage listeners.
The more harsh you treat your chilli, the hotter it'll be. And Louise might go in there and whisper sweet endearments and nice words to them, but believe me, I go in behind them and give them a wee bit more encouragement to be that bit hotter and that bit meaner.
Now, this comes from a book that we read years and years and years ago.
You can't remember what it's called.
I cannot remember which book it is. And he used to go into his greenhouse with his chillies and swear at them. And then the young guy would come in behind and apologise to the chillies. And he said that this was supposed to make them meaner. But when I was watching the Channel 4 programme the other day on spices, and they were going off around the world looking at different spices, and the woman in Mexico went in and spoke very nicely to her chillies. So I don't know whether you should be nice to chillies or not nice to chillies, but there you go, Richard wasn't nice
to
chillies.
Well, we tackle them from both quarters, so we play both, good both cards. Good cop, bad cop to our chillies, yeah.
I won't go around Tesco's with this litre and a half bottle of vodka, and I'm daring people to ask me, you're either a druth of a housewife, or what are you doing with that amount of vodka? Are you going to have a party? And I was all ready for going, I'm going to make chilli vodka. Christmas presents. I've got mint humbug vodka brewing, but Richard says it needs more vodka in it to water it down. Yes. Thank you, Ella. The long, convoluted way of saying it. And also, there was a recipe for shortbread. So it was immense. And also today, I received a package from my swap partner, Rachel, and it included a jar of honey from Warwickshire.
Hey.
And it is
less than £5.20.
Well, I think it actually cost more than that to post it. But I felt that was ironic because I only bought this jar of honey from Caithness the other day.
That'll be lovely, honey.
It will be nice.
Very good for the,
you've had it before.
Very good for hay fever and all that kind of stuff, I believe. Back to the whiskey.
Check out the colour. And
I would say that the whiskey is certainly a darker kind of colour than the honey, but the honey's kind of a bit cloudier as well, which, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So I would say we're not honey.
We're orange then.
We're going for a Chewbacca.
Oh!
It's enough to drive a man to drink.
Can I
drink
some of this now? I think we should die. Put some water in mine, please.
Oh, right. There you go. Right. We drop it for me.
And we add the water to release a bit of the alcohol and release the flavours.
Watches me now, look.
And I like to add, or have someone add, about a quarter of the dram that is in the...
A 4-to-1 ratio mix.
Yes, a 4-to-1 ratio mix. Richard just likes to add about a sneeze worth. In fact, that's been a bit generous.
About 100-to-1 mix.
Mm.
Like your 2-stroke for the strummer or the chainsaw.
Yes, dear. Sanjava.
Sanjava.
Oh, hold on. Yes, dear.
Oh, yes, we're wetting the baby's head here, yes.
Now, we'd like to raise a glass to little Isla McGilvery. May you be very blessed because you're very beautiful.
And better explain that Isla is the daughter of Graham and Ali McGilvery, who did the drums with us one night.
Mm-hmm. So way they've back. Way back in February. And they've had a little baby girl, and she's much loved, and she's absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Slangevat.
Slangevat.
That's what we taste. Oh, I like that.
Oh, that's burny.
A wee bit burny.
Not through the nose, very burny through the mouth. It tastes lovely.
We'll get an afterburn now.
But, burny down the back of the throat now.
That's quite true.
He's away for a drink, because he's hearing us drinking. We laughing at they're used to hearing them now. Oh, and Rachel Mander also sent Cotro some dog chews.
We can go in his doggy advent calendar.
Yes, he's got a doggy advent calendar.
And dog's spoiled.
That's like a Talisker 10-year-old in the post kind of day for Cotro.
I think I might give the chillies a day off and give Cotro some stern looking at.
Oh, he's lovely. Anyway, right, taste, describe it.
Burny. A bit like Camelton. Apples.
Ah, kind of fruity.
Mm.
But it's very burny.
It is burny.
Not in a all that nice way.
I can live with it.
Maybe I mean, need... Do you need more water?
A wee drop more water in it, eh? Yeah. I can live with it. I don't mind that.
I think I would either add some ginger beer to that thing. Now, what did we see an advert for?
Oh, Famous Grouse ginger beer.
I didn't see it in Tesco's tonight. I was most disappointed.
I'd forgotten all about it, actually.
Well, I was standing there.
It was a good advert.
It was a good advert.
Kind of trippy.
Yeah.
Like my infrared.
Famous Grouse adverts are funny as anything because they've got they've got a little grouse and he's animated.
Yeah, for the ginger beer one?
No, just anyway.
Well, anyway, he's animated, aye. You couldn't train a grouse to do that, dear.
Well, even if you fed him whiskey.
He'd just fall over. Is that better?
Yes. With a bit more water, it is much better. There's no burn.
I'm getting apples, definitely getting apples.
You know, I'm getting old pub with mannies in it that go in. This is pre the smoking ban, a smoky pub, and they're sitting there playing dominoes in one corner. And there's a puggy machine, which, and it's wooden, and it's a old pub.
Holy
shit. Like a bar. No, older than that. Maybe like what the backer used to be.
Right.
But I think I'm influenced by the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say I don't mind Campbelltown at all. I've only been there once, and it's a very long drive down, but it's very beautiful.
It's very beautiful. It's beautiful beaches, it's beautiful scenery. You pass a few islands, lots of scenery on either side. But there is a reason why Campbellton's that far away from the rest of humanity.
Why?
Because they can't behave themselves.
There's three distilleries in Campbellton.
It's the, what is it, the Victorian epicentre of distilleries?
Yeah, who knew?
I never knew that.
And the Glen Scotia Distillery apparently just now employs 3 employees, but it's very efficient because it produces an awful lot of whiskies a year.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently it must do quite well, and I've never heard of it. Sorry, Campbelltown people.
Not
I'm sure
fact.
You've all heard of it.
I tell you, there's a fine wee fishing harbour down in Campbelltown.
We went once, and we went to the Mull of Kintyre. We went right to the very end.
Macrahanish.
Yes. Which is?
The very end after Campbelltown.
And it's got a beautiful beach.
And rocks and cliffs.
And is that not the most southerly in Scotland, or mental golf course or something?
Not sure about that.
I'm pretty sure there's a mental golf course down there.
Sadly, it's remembered because of the really bad helicopter crash that was there a few years back.
And they used to have some army bases down
there as
well.
There was an army base, a listening post, an army base, aye. And there's good climbing down there. And there's the wee footprint in the rock down there from
St Columba.
Was it St Columba?
Uh-huh. Footprint in the rock?
Well, it was heavy.
They say there's
big sandal print in the rock.
Oh, well, went there.
Right, we did. He must have liked his pies. That's very beautiful, beautiful beaches. A lot of surfing and stuff down there.
Oh, yes, there is, aye.
And so you can see Ireland. Well, Northern Ireland.
Well, you can pretty much swim to it from there.
Aye.
But it's a very beautiful area. And the whiskey's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think I would rush out and get it again. It's not the most distinctive one for me, because I've had to add more water. But it was nice to taste.
It's fine.
It's a nice smell. I like the smell of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm always like that. I'm like that with coffee and I'm like that with bacon. Well, I love the smell of bacon and I love the smell of percolate coffee, but it just doesn't taste the same. Oi, Kiva?
Oi, Kiva. Can I open this gap now?
No. Now, everything is now measured in, that's 3 jars of honey. And I'm told by a few people that's what local honey costs. I don't grudge it at all because I'm all for the bees. It turns out that my book from Knit Your Own Scotland had been delivered back to the sender, so she has then sent it back out. I have not yet received it. I mean, it was quite reasonable customer service on the way once I inquired, but I just want the book. It's only £7.
The blah, blah, blah section.
Blah, 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 blah. But that was me. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you are all in good health. If not, please be in good fettle. You can download me from Podbean and iTunes. Please do carry on with the reviews in the comments. And you can email me on creationscraftcollective@gmail.com. You can get me on Ravelry as Louise Hunt and friend me there. You can join the Caithness Craft Collective group in there and have a bit of a blether. Also, I like Pinterest, I like Stitching Fingers, I like Instagram, and linked is a Flickr account as well. And Twitter, yes, I'm on there, Caithness Craft. And the episode, the music this episode is O Holy Night, sung by Alison Crow. And it's lovely. And this one's dedicated to you, Karen, of Knit One Geek Two, because it's Hobbit Day! But you can get this from musicalley.com and you can go buy it. Thank you for listening. Please keep on crafting. Happy Christmas.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world were pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voices all night, divine all night, when Christ was born. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared, the soul felt its worth. Christ was born.